Steelers Nation, what's up? I'm Noah Strackbine. That's Mark Caboli and Ray Fittipaldo. This is Steelers Collective, and oh my gosh, do we have a jam-packed show for you guys today. It was supposed to be Myles Garrett and what that means for TJ Watt, a little takeaways from the first day of minicamp, maybe some hold-ins. Quickly turned into a $100 million contract extension for Nick Herbig. We've got everything on it, what it means, who's next, does it affect the future or the present for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and our reactions on the deal as a whole. It's a beautiful one here in the Berg. Boys, it's good to see you again. How are you feeling?
Hey, I'm interested to see what you all think. I've been thinking over my mind, in my mind here, how do I feel about this? So I'm curious to get you guys' reaction to this all. Like a Stewart or something, right?
$104 million. That's a lot of Mai Tais. That goes a long way in Hawaii.
Let me ask you right off the bat here. Do you think they just try to get out ahead of this? You know, if he has a 16, 17 sack season this year, all of a sudden that $25 million is kind of cheap next year.
Super cheap. Super cheap. I think it's cheap no matter what. You're telling me in 4 years that the Pittsburgh Steelers won't be looking at Nick Herbig the same way that they're looking at Alex Highsmith, saying we're really paying that guy $17 million to be a top 10 edge rusher in the NFL. Nick Herbig, our number three, just got $25 million. It's going to be cheap no matter what. It's definitely going to be cheap.
He's only had 600 career snaps in one season. That's the most he's had. That's the little bit of the question mark.
Yeah.
But you get past that.
I think what the Steelers see all this production in maybe 60% of the snaps, and I just think they want to throw him out there for more. They want to see what he could do on a full-time basis, and they're bought into him. Now, I don't know what that means for Alex Highsmith. I don't even know what that means for TJ Watt, but I do know that they are very big on Nick Herbig, and Nick Herbig is going to be getting monster snaps this season. And I don't know if I would have said that yesterday.
I don't think I would either. And I think that's a great place to start the conversation is Nick Herbig signs. I mean, cheap is a great word, but it means so much. It was a deal that I think a lot of people view as, well, it's good that you got it done because it protects your future, but it opens everything up, even outside of trades, just on the Steelers. And let's say they keep their trio of guys. Do you guys think that Herbig becomes a quote-unquote starter, or do you think he plays starter-worthy reps or amount of reps, I guess, this season? Or is it a lot of the same and you're paying linebacker $325 million?
I think they're looking towards the future a little bit. I wouldn't be stunned if it's you know, maybe not even across the board, but I don't think that the old $25 million guarantees – Nick Herbig's going to get more snaps than Highsmith and Watt. Did you see Highsmith today doing some of those drills? He was by far the quickest guy. He made TJ Watt look slow out there. And he's just very impressive to me. And if he can stay healthy, I think this is more towards the future. And we complain so much about how they waited too long to TJ Watt and end up having to pay him $40 million. I think this is a way to get him at a cheaper price right now with, you know, let's deal with next year if it's going to be Watt, if it's going to be Highsmith gone. So that's the way I look at it. I say it's going to be status quo this year, as in all three of those guys divvying up snaps.
Mark, you might be right about the future. I don't disagree with you there, but there is a present to this. And right now, if it's status quo, they would be paying their backup $6 million more per season than their starter. And I cannot think of another instance ever in the time that I've covered the Steelers that that's ever happened at any other position. Maybe you guys can call me out on that, but usually when they pay somebody like that, that guy is a starter. So I'm really interested to see how this plays out.
No, I feel the same way, which it's so weird. Okay, so maybe I'm wrong here. Maybe I'm thinking, you know, sideways, but I look at it as Nick Herbig and Alex Highsmith are most likely the future compared to Nick Herbig and TJ Watt. TJ Watt's got 2 years. I mean, 3 years if you're willing to pay him $46 million as a 34-year-old who knows how he's playing at that point. Alex Highsmith, like you said, Caboli, looks great. And he's 28 years old, and he's cheap. And next year, you can extend him. And then you have Nick Herbig and Alex Highsmith through his last contract, which probably still won't be expensive. And Jack Sawyer is your number three. But I agree with you, Ray, because how do you get through this season with right. Nick Herbig making more, but Alex Highsmith possibly being your best edge rusher? I mean, I don't even know if there's an answer to that. Is the answer TJ Watt? Is the answer you play TJ Watt less?
Or is the answer, is there another shoe to drop tomorrow, next week, during training camp in terms of one of those guys getting dealt? I mean,
do you think that happens?
I mean, listen, we are, what, 10 months removed from Micah Parsons mm-hmm. getting moved? We are a few months removed from Max Crosby getting moved, and then we all know what happened after that. And then we're just days away from Myles Garrett getting moved. So, you know, this edge rusher market, maybe teams are realizing that you can't pay quarterback money to these guys and get your money's worth. The Steelers have been resistant to trading TJ. I don't know if that's on the table any longer, but I feel like there's almost like there's another shoe to drop here. I would be surprised if they go into this season with it the way it is now. I could be wrong, Mark, but I would be surprised if they invest all that money in one position. I mean, do you realize how much guaranteed money they have tied up in all those guys?
It's crazy.
It's like $150 million in guaranteed money just in those three guys.
Well, you know, there's always another possibility here. Maybe they are going all in for this year. Bite the bullet for 1 year. Next year, let's figure out what's going on here. All I say is, I mean, if you're going to move a guy like Highsmith, who would be probably more easily moved right now, just say hypothetically speaking, then TJ Watt all of a sudden craps the bed this year, then all of a sudden you're it's Herbig and Jack Sawyer, right? So yeah. I don't think there's any easy answer to this right now. That's why I think you, if you can, let it play out a season right now and deal with now the Highsmith slash Watt thing next year and make that decision next year. I just don't know which way you would go. There's one guy that makes a ton of money and has the name attached to him and all the accolades, and the other guy who's probably a better player and that can bring back more right now in Highsmith.
Do you think that Highsmith goes for more? Is that what you mean by that?
He's 28 right now, right? What I'm saying is you're trading for Alex Highsmith right now.
Yeah.
I think you have a better chance with getting more in return just for the fact that TJ's 32.
I don't think so either. I think there's a possibility. Maybe it's not a 26 or a 27, excuse me. Maybe it's a 28. But I think you could still potentially get a first-round pick for TJ Watt.
TJ, 32 years old and $40 million bucks. That combination?
Just like you said about the Steelers, being all in and being willing to pay these guys ridiculous amounts of money, I could see a team like the San Francisco 49ers, the New England Patriots, the Dallas Cowboys maybe saying, we're all in, we're going to win a Super Bowl. We need an edge rusher. TJ Watt is TJ Watt. You know, I think in Pittsburgh, we watched TJ Watt the last 2 years and go, what's going on here? I think the rest of the NFL says, I could make that better. It's still TJ Watt.
I mean, the Cleveland Browns got a 1, a 2, and a 3 Aaron Jared verse. You mean to tell me the Steelers couldn't at least get a 1?
Well, there's a guy coming off 23 sacks too.
That's a fair point. But TJ Watt's still if the Steelers hold TJ Watt in the high regard that we think they do, other teams are going to too. And all it takes is one.
Weren't the Ravens going to give up multiple ones for Max Crosby?
Yes, exactly.
You see how they made that stuff up and reneged on that. My thing is, if you can afford it right now, which it sounds like maybe they can manipulate the numbers any way they want to get a guy like Porter signed, why not keep him for another year?
I agree with that. I do have a question that's attached to it, though. If you're going to pay these guys, it's like $85, $87 million a year between the three of them. What do you need to see? Like, what do these guys need? That's a ton of money to say, yep, they collectively got 21 sacks this year. That was it. Like, what do you need to see? What justifies that if you keep it? I mean, outside of a Super Bowl, obviously.
Playoff wins. Playoff wins. I just think that they're getting out ahead of it. That's my true gut feeling, is they don't want to lose him next year. They felt that they can get him for a cheaper amount next year, this year. And if they got to move on from one of the guys next year, which it almost sounds like that would be an absolute definite, then fine. And I don't see anything wrong with that right now. I would keep him unless I absolutely have to. Hey, there was one guy today who decided he didn't want to talk to the media. You know what his name was? Darnell Washington. Maybe he's under the impression that he's not getting signed right now. So maybe that's Joey Porter, then they're done for the year too. Maybe they can't afford it.
That's a great point, because they've already paid Boswell. You know, Joey Porter is going to cost more than Nick Herbig, I think. Herbig's making $21 million a year. I think Joey's going to be beyond that, even though I think the Steelers value edge rushers more. How much money is left to go around? I think Keanu Benton and Darnell Washington are going to get the short end of the stick here. And isn't it interesting that those two guys have been out there practicing at OTAs? Maybe they see the writing on the wall. Maybe they talk to their agents. Hey, we're just going to go out. We're going to take care of our business this year, and then we'll hit free agency next year, and that's where we're going to make our money.
Yeah, I kind of felt the same way. McCarthy saying that Darnell was going to be like a big piece of the pie on offense and the big piece of the game plan made me think for a moment, like, maybe they are – it's on their agenda, but who knows if they're going to come up with the money. But maybe that's the case. Maybe right now they're saying, we're not negotiating with you because we don't know if we could sign you. And then these deals with Herbig and anybody else, really, they set off the domino effect. Teams are going to now call Omar and say, hey, are you trading Alex Highsmith or TJ Watt? And maybe they say no, but all they have to do is say yes and get the right answer, and then the money opens up. But I agree with you. I think it's there. Joey didn't practice today. Do we think that's coming next? And do you think it's coming?
Was that during the open portion? Are you giving away secrets here, Noah?
Joey was – I have a picture on Twitter.
Oh, okay.
Of Joey standing there with a helmet on. And during that picture portion, Joey was not practicing. Is he next, and when does it happen?
Yeah, it has to be next. I would imagine – I was going to say more towards, you know, training camp era. You know, sometime early August, but at this point, who knows when it could happen. It could happen tomorrow for all we know. But, yeah, I think they have to get him done. I think they know that they have to get him done. I think he knows it's going to get done. So I think it's just a matter of time with him. I mean, if I'm choosing between Herbig and Porter, I probably would have chosen Porter myself. If you could only extend one right now because of that position, it's just so hard to be able to find good players like that. But I'm pretty sure that Porter's just a matter of time. Hey, that's back for Herbig and Watt and Highsmith. Isn't now on Patrick Graham to say, get these guys on the field at the same time? It's allowed to happen.
It's true.
It's allowed to happen. What happens when teams come out five wide, though?
Yeah. That's why Jalen Ramsey's there. He can play. He can cover six different people.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's –
I'm not even going to say anything. I don't want anybody getting upset with me, but no.
Didn't they not look at Herbig as an off-ball linebacker coming out of Wisconsin?
Drop the hint today that he would play a little off-ball linebacker. And I don't know how we're going to take that, but he said, he's like, yeah, you know, I'll play off-ball, or I'm going to play off-ball. I'm going to play on the edge. Like, I'm going to play special teams. Okay. I don't think it's going to be enough. I don't want Herbig out there. You don't want Herbig out there on passing downs. You know what I mean? Cover. It's nice when he drops into the flat and makes a play. It's really bad when he's got a man up, a tight end, and then it's over. You know?
Another thing we're forgetting too is all three of these edge guys have not been a model of health lately either. They've all missed their share of time.
It's also true. It's also true. But where does Jack Sawyer sit into that? Because – you know, I just have a hard time thinking Jack Sawyer's a linebacker four for the next 2 years or whatever it is, 3 years. Could he be good enough to be the guy that steps in and spot starts, you know, five games a year, which is crazy.
Yeah. Well, you know, going back to Mark's point about him doing Joey first. Isn't it interesting that with all the depth they have at outside linebacker that they did do Nick first? And I just think it goes back to their philosophy on team building. It's a 3-4 defense. You could change coordinators, but edge rusher has always been the most important piece to them in terms of how they build their defenses, going way back to, you know, the late 80s, early 90s. The outside linebacker has always been so, so important to their success. So I'm with you, Mark. Like, especially with them, they've had trouble finding corners. But when you do sit back and look at it, maybe it was just Nick and his agent being able to be more amenable to the terms at this point. You know, it might be as simple as that. But I do find it interesting that the edge rusher got done first and got paid first before the cornerback did.
My theory on that is that Joey is a top 10 corner in the NFL, but he's trying to be paid like a top 5 corner, and he's probably going to be paid like a top 5 corner. But the first three guys make 31, 30, and 30. And then after that, it goes down to $24 million a year. So you're going to get paid somewhere in that $27 million mark. But I would imagine Joey's trying to be number one, and the Steelers are trying to be 24, and they're trying to find a middle ground there, which isn't a huge gap, but it's still probably more complicated than Nick Herbig. Hey, this is how everyone else is getting paid right now. Would you like that same contract? Yes, that sounds good.
So maybe it does get done early September, right before the season, like TJ, because it's so complicated, right? There's so much money at stake. Maybe this is one that does drag into the late summer.
Yeah, it's cheap right now for a guy. You're saying $30 million. That's cheap. That's expensive right now. Guess what? And by the time that contract runs out or has a couple years under his belt, that's probably, you know, kind of cheap right there at 25 to 30, especially how the salary cap keeps going up and up and up. I mean, you're right with, I mean, back to the Herbig thing. We're going to look back at Herbig and potentially in 3 years. Depends on how the contracts negotiate. I mean, how it's structured as well. You could say $25 million for this guy. They're ripping him off right now. Or, you know, it's what a bargain that this is. So, you know, both of them are taking risk. When it comes to Herbig, I'm saying Herbig probably could get paid more if he had a great season, or, you know, he might not be able to. He might be a bum and bust, and he's happy with the $25 million. But the Porter thing, that has to be done, because you just don't have anything of note or interest behind him. So,
he knows that too. He knows he's got him up against.
It's not like he has a huge body of work too. Let's face it. He's had a good first year, second year, a pretty solid third year, the upper echelon third year. It's not like he's had three outstanding seasons.
No, but he is a guy that's looked I mean, it was a dip in his sophomore season, but last year he looked considerably better and looked like a corner one. I mean, he allowed, this is like Pro Football Reference, but it was like 48% of his passes attempted his way to be completed. That's pretty good. You know, it's not bad, but I agree with you. Like, it's such a high dollar amount for a guy who isn't there yet, who you're guessing is going to be there. It's going to be cheap in a couple of years, but so is, you know, Derek Stingley for $30 million in 4 years. Will be like, I can't believe that guy's only making $30 million. It's Pat Surtain. Pat Surtain's making $24 million right now. That's insane. That guy should be making
defensive player of the year a couple of years ago, right?
That's what I'm saying. And then he signed a deal at the time, was a massive deal, and is now ridiculously cheap. So it always looks that way. But in the time, I think that's what's going to take some time with it. What do you guys think that number ends up being? What's your guess?
I would say 25.
Okay.
That's where I was. I was 25. I don't know that they would go above 25, but if Joey wants to play hardball, they might have to.
There's another thing, man. You know, those offensive linemen have to get paid next year too, a couple of
them. Yes.
Where is this money coming from?
Well, it's only, I guess it's two. Yeah, but next year you're pretty good with cap space, I'm pretty sure. Because you could get Jalen off the books. You could.
Well, I have a quarterback who makes nothing.
You'll have a quarterback who makes nothing. And I think Cam's is significantly cheaper next year from what it is this year. It's like, isn't that how they spaced it out? So they should be pretty good money-wise.
That's one thing I don't worry about. I mean, we give Omar all the credit for the negotiating. He does an unbelievable job, but apparently he got a guy in tow there with Cole Marcoux, who's not very shabby himself. That's one thing I don't worry about. But if there's money to be found and money to be spent, they'll find it. Yeah. They've proven that.
I agree.
Kick the can down the road.
Always.
When did they ever had to pay? It's been probably 15 years now since they had to like purge their roster because they didn't have any money. Well,
COVID sort of, right? When
oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
When the cap went down, that was the one year they kind of got caught.
True. This feels like a million years ago now. It was 24 hours ago. Myles Garrett gets traded from Cleveland to the Los Angeles Rams. And immediately you tie it to TJ Watt. One, because we need one final Myles Garrett versus TJ Watt conversation. I just think it's just a farewell that everybody deserves. Two, because everybody immediately tied it to TJ Watt and said, well, what could the Steelers get for TJ Watt? Should they have done it? We kind of talked about what they would get in return for a TJ. My question to you guys is, did the Steelers mess up by holding this thing out with TJ? They wouldn't regret it. And obviously, maybe you didn't see it coming, but maybe you did see it coming at the end of the 2024 season. Did the Steelers find themselves in a worse situation than the Browns? That's the best way I could put it. Are the Steelers in a worse situation than the Browns?
No, my opinion hasn't changed on what I think he has. A ton of talent. I still think there's something left in the old tank there. So I would not move him. I might be very much in the minority here of they screwed this up and should have moved on from him last year or not signed him a couple years ago to this monster contract. But I still think he has a lot of talent, brings a lot to this team. It's not just because they want him as a one helmet guy. I think he can still provide a lot to this team. That's why I think they should keep. I don't think they should trade him. I don't think they should have ever looked to trade him. Now, let's see what happens after this year. Then you can make a different determination after this year. He might not be worth what you once could have got from him, but I'm willing to run it back with TJ Watt and see if he can gain some of that magic that he had a couple of years ago. I'm once again, I guarantee I'm in the minority on this one.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even necessarily that, Mark. I think what Noah was saying is, did they err 2 years ago? Because I have no doubt they could have got the Myles Garrett package with TJ 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And now it's almost like, okay, we can only get a first rounder now, maybe. So why would we do that? We'll just keep him and we'll see if he can have a bounce back here. He's coming off a 7-sack season. He's only had one other of those in his career. That's when he was a rookie. And I'm taking away the year he tore his pec when he had 5.5 sacks. So he is coming off one of his worst seasons. It's just not a great time to trade him, but 2 years ago, it absolutely was.
I think it's still wild to have the conversation of, do you trade a guy for that you think you could get a first-round pick for at 32 years old, coming off his worst season since a rookie, but no, because you're going to take a shot and a flyer on a 32-year-old TJ Watt. Like, I'm on the side of take a shot on TJ Watt. I think it's a wild position to be in to have that conversation and make that decision.
Well, think about what the Browns got, guys. In all likelihood, they're getting like pick 28, 29, 30, or 31, or 32. Because yep. The Rams are probably going to be in the conference championship game, and they might even win the Super Bowl. So you have to take that into consideration. If you're going to trade TJ Watt, undoubtedly it would be a two contender. So you're automatically looking at a late first round pick. I just don't see that it's worth it. And the more I think about this Myles Garrett trade, the more I think the Browns got ripped off. I mean, you're getting a late first round pick. You're getting a second and 28 and a third and 29, right? Is that the way it works out? Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're getting Jared Verse. Jared Verse is a good player. I love Jared Verse. But in terms of the compensation for a two-time reigning NFL Defensive Player of the Year, I don't think the Browns got enough for
him. And now you're relying on Andrew Berry to make the correct call.
Right.
which is always a wild card in this all. Yeah, Verse is only 5 years younger than Myles Garrett. I mean, that's kind of surprised me. I thought he was going to be, you know, 7-8 years younger than him. But, yeah, that's the key there, getting somebody like Verse. But going back to Watt, I mean, I think you play this out this year, right, and hope he does have a 12-sack season, a 13-sack season. So maybe then if you decide to move on from him next year, maybe that increases his value a little bit. At this point, I don't know you're going to come close to the market value, which you probably should get for a guy that has a resume of T.J. Watt, just because he's coming off an injured, whatever, a freak accident. He is, what, 2 years removed from 14 sacks? What, 4 years from 22?
Yeah.
What do you get a year from now? What do you get TJ? What do you get for TJ next year if you decide?
What he does this year.
10 sacks. Guy puts up 10 sacks. You're ready to make Nick Herbig the guy. You're going to extend Alex Highsmith. Jack Sawyer's fine as a linebacker 3. What are you getting for TJ?
Oh, here's the thing with Highsmith is, too, you got to protect yourself on that end, too. If you just dump TJ Watt right now, you're putting a lot in. All of a sudden, Alex Watt's value goes up. He knows, okay, you probably pretty much need me right now, too. So, and like I said, he's been banged up with some of his soft tissue injuries. What do you get for him? Will he be 33 at that point?
Yeah.
33? Depends on what he is. I mean, you're not going to break the bank. At that point, you hope to get something back. But more important than that is just rid yourself of the money.
Yeah, but you're not gonna trade if TJ Watt goes out and has 16 sacks. You're not trading him. You know, you're gonna hold on to him for one more year, and then you're gonna probably get rid of him before the $46 million year because it's $10 million in dead money if you get rid of him then. If let's say he's got again 10 sacks in 2026, Herbig has 10 sacks. You're ready to go to Herbig and Alex Highsmith, right? What do you get?
Now, maybe you go look at the Cowboys and Packers trade. They got Kenny Clark in return. Maybe you go give me a good defensive lineman in return and give me a second round pick. Now, if you just want to go draft pick compensation, maybe for the Steelers, you really hard line, you hold out for a 1. But if you're looking for a player and a pick, I would say a good starter like a Kenny Clark and a number 2 at that point. I think that would be fair.
Hmm. Okay. All speculation.
I think it'd be a third. I think you'd be dropping down to a third round pick, which isn't good. And just shows how crazy the situation is again.
What do you get for TJ Watt right now?
I'm telling you, first.
I think
the 49ers would give you a first. I think the Cowboys would have conversations about it because they have 2. I think the Patriots would give you a first. Maybe it's not a first.
Again, we're looking at,
but maybe it's a first
28-29, right? Fix 28-29,
30-27. Yeah, for sure.
Crap. That's crap.
For TJ Watt at 32 years old, that's 28th
pick overall. That's like a second rounder. I keep TJ. I'm sorry. I keep him, and I deal with this next year. But I said the same thing about Herbig. Just deal with it next year. They don't listen to me, I guess.
I will say I would keep TJ too. I don't think I'd trade TJ today.
I don't think they're interested in trading him unless somebody comes throws a boatload at him.
Me too. But I don't know. I feel differently about that after today because I was not expecting it to happen today. I thought Nick Herbig was going to get signed first. I didn't think it was going to be day one of minicamp. So I think it does. I'm open-minded right now to what could go down. But I agree with you. I wouldn't get rid of him. I wouldn't. All right. With that said, that's everything on our agenda. Let's start answering some questions. But first, we got a word from our boys over at Prize Picks, America's number one sports picks app and the best place to win cash while watching sports. It's easy. Just pick your players, set your lineups, and watch. And this week, we've got a good one for you guys. As always, we are staying on the Michael Pittman Jr. train here with 4 receiving touchdowns and the over or the more. And then getting creative, Jalen Ramsey. First time he ever had 2 sacks in a season last year. Maybe this year with Patrick Graham, he's got a little bit more. But all he needs is 1. over 0.25 sacks in 2026. Do you guys think he gets there?
Jalen Ramsey.
Over.
Oh.
He's going to play 900 snaps. So you would hope that he gets one there.
All you got to do is go. All you need is a half. You get a half, and it's a hitter. That's all you need.
I think they're going to use him off the edge more than you think. So I think he's going to have a couple opportunities, so I would go over.
That's there one push the quarterback out of bounds on a scramble. That's all that is.
Not even push. Run out of bounds before you get hit, right?
Yeah.
And just touch him. And just touch him. Well, there it is. I'd go with it. Using my promo code HMA or by clicking the link below, new users who play $5 get $50 in lineups. Just download the app using the promo code and the link. Can't wait to hear your lineups. All right. Toss your questions in the chat. We'll get to as many of them as we can before we head out of here. Wild day for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Wild 24 hours for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Also, before we get going, hit that like and subscribe button as we make our way to 1,000 subscribers. Maddie, Kaboli, you're not included in this one. What did you two think of day one of minicamp? And when you weren't spending your time taking photos of Joey and Nick Herbig, maybe not participating in things, what stood out to you guys?
You know, first thing I saw was obviously I mentioned already the speed of Alex Highsmith. It's just spectacular. I mean, it's just next level. I mean, if he stays healthy, man, I'm a big Alex Highsmith fan. I that stood out to me. And another guy that keeps flashing. I hate to say that a guy is having a good camp or a good OTAs because it is what it is. But once you start seeing one guy just keep flashing, okay, who's that? Oh, same guy. Sebastian Castro, every time I look at him, he's making a play. I know it's OTAs. I know it's mini camp. But the guy continues to make plays, and it just opens your eyes and say, okay, I'm going to watch this guy a little bit. That's the guy I think you have to watch a little bit. Maybe sneaks his way on the 53-man roster as a special teams guy, a depth safety spot. I like the guy.
I'll give you one other. Did you ever have yourself wanting last year when it came to the chemistry between DK and Aaron? And I think this was during the open window of today's practice. But, man, the chemistry between those two, so, so much better. We got to see a carryover into training camp. We got to see a carryover into the regular season. But if those two get on the same page, look out. They were not on the same page last year. That's why the offense was so bad. At certain points of the season, their chemistry so far has been really good. So I think that needs to continue.
Yeah. I'll toss a third guy, or I guess a fourth guy at you. Asante Samuel Jr. may be the most overlooked corner in Pittsburgh right now. We have no idea what his role is going to be. I think there's a chance Dalen Everett surpasses him on the depth chart, or maybe even pushes him off the roster before the end of training camp, but he's running. He runs with any wide receiver that's in front of him. That's what I've noticed. He's fast, and he just looks smooth out there for a guy who probably shouldn't look smooth running with the ones, but he is a long-time starter with the Chargers. So, or I guess not long-time, two-year starter with the Chargers. So,
is he tiny? Doesn't he look tiny to you, though?
He does look tiny. He does look tiny. And we got to see when we get to training camp and people put pads on. But I think he's looked good the last 2 days. I think he's looked good throughout OTAs, too, truly. I don't think he's looked bad.
He would have been a normal cornerback 10 years ago, but now you stack him up against Joey and Mel Dean and Dalen Everett, and he is tiny.
Yeah, Dalen Everett looks the part, for sure. That guy, I'm excited to see him out in training camp. Tyrone here, JPJ about to break the bank, $29 to $32 million range. Does he surpass 30? Is there any world where Joey Porter becomes the highest paid corner in NFL history?
I don't think so. No, I think he's going to get paid handsomely, but I don't think he's going to get near that 30 range.
I don't think so either.
He doesn't intercept the ball enough to warrant that kind of money. I think you got to turn the ball over. You got to make game-changing plays. He does a great job in coverage. I'm not denying that. He had a great year last year, but if you're going to pay somebody that kind of money, there's got to be some turnover production there, and Joey just doesn't do that.
I agree. I definitely agree. I'm guessing $25, $26 million. I don't think it goes any higher than that. You just can't justify making him the top corner in the NFL. You have the highest paid defense in the NFL, and everybody complains about it all the time. You can't just continue to add to that. USA Citizen, does TJ Watt have some sort of no trade clause like Myles Garrett? The answer to this is no, unless you guys know something that I don't. But
no.
Not that I know of.
No.
All right. Nate Moore, which big three is more likely to stick together for the entirety of this season? Watt, Highsmith, or Herbig, or Shrack Bean, Kaboom, and Fittipaldo?
Us,
for sure. Look at Cavoli's face, dude.
I don't know. I see you guys a little bit too much. You might get on my nerves.
We already do get on your nerves.
My man Nate spelled my name right. I'm liking that guy.
Are you getting your name spelled wrong a lot?
People do butcher my name a lot, yes.
And little did you know, Noah, is every time we go out on the dinner on the road, Ray always has to buy an Italian meal.
I mean, it comes with the last name.
I don't have to. I just
You get the most Italian of Italian dishes every time.
That's true. We end up going to Italian restaurants, though.
So. That's true.
Yeah, who did you see at Iria's? Never mind.
Sasha, isn't Herbig's contract kicking in 2027? I was under the assumption he was playing on his last year of his rookie contract, 26. Same goes for JPJ, or am I wrong here? They will still remain under the same contracts. However, signing bonuses hit the salary cap, correct?
Yeah, that's how they do it. I mean, he'll still, whatever he's making this year, what is it? $4 million, whatever it is.
Yeah.
That signing bonus, whatever it is, now gets pushes all the way forward and he gets a big chunk of money right there. So even though the salary, you look at the salary, he's not making that much money, he's getting a big paycheck coming here.
Yeah, so what? I think the national guys report this as an extension. I think the Steelers look at it as a new five-year, $104 million contract. That's the way the Steelers do it. They rip up the old contract and they just do a new one, but the last year of the rookie contract is included in that.
Yeah, it stays the same. It's just an extension, but it's a new contract in their terms. But the first year, like you said, it's the same thing.
It's the same thing, yeah. Drink Keystone Light. Have they done any kick or punt returns? Have you guys noticed kick or punt returns at practice?
I haven't. I'm sure they do it, but I haven't really noticed it.
They're on the third field, at least the punters, kickers, and long snappers, but I haven't seen anybody unless they did it when we're not allowed.
Who's your guesses for the kick returner next to Caden Wiegen?
Are we sure that Caden Wiegen is going to return kicks? I know he's the punt returner.
Yeah,
he should return kicks. He was good at returning kicks.
For a guy that's a one-trick pony, he better add that second trick to it.
I was going
to
say,
get the 53-man roster. Right?
If you used a fourth-round pick on just a punt returner, I'm
just saying the NFL kickoff is different than the college kickoff. You're probably right, but
so the punt.
You do see a lot of big guys have success on those returns. It's not always the little shifty punt returners who are good on those new kickoffs. That's all I'm saying.
That's true. Who do you think is the other, or maybe the one, if Wiegen isn't there, who's the other guy?
Johnson, right?
Well, was Jalen back there with Kenny last year? Is that the way they did it?
He was.
Do you think he stays there even though he's – he's 6 years in the league, 5 years in the league?
He shed some weight. He got quicker. I mean, he wouldn't be.
How many times did he actually return it to? I mean, what are we talking
Very
about?
Rarely. Well, yeah. He's a catch and kneel kind of guy.
You're talking about adding that second trick to your bag. You're right. How many kickoffs are actually returned?
Which makes the fourth round pick on a specialist still strange.
He made some plays on offense today. You saw number 10 running around out there.
I tell you one thing I saw was number 17 catches the ball with his one pinky.
Yes.
The guy got some super glue on his hands.
For a guy whose arms are not long, it's like I mean, maybe I'm off there, but I look at like Michael Pittman Jr. DK is a specimen. He doesn't count. Michael Pittman Jr. and his hands go down to his knees and Jeremy's are like in his pockets. And I'm like, that he's got a very reliable catch radius. Like,
so he can scratch his kneecaps without bending over.
Michael Pittman Jr. can. Look at him and DK and Darnell next time they walk by you. You'll go, dude, your fingertips are on your knees. That's insane. Standing up.
I don't want to hype the guy up too much, but Jeremy Bernard looks like a pro already. Like he carries himself like a pro. And yeah. I'm excited to see what he can do.
Good hands. Yeah, he does. Nate here, who are some of the fringe 53-man roster candidates, someone who might steal a spot? Sebastian Castro, I definitely would say.
Will Howard is the number fourth quarterback. I'm going to die on that hill. Keep him four quarterbacks.
Couldn't go all day, dude. We couldn't go all
day. I'm arguing with everybody who wanted to listen to me today why they should keep four quarterbacks.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. How are they going to – oh, that means they'd have to get rid of Travis Homer. Really? Damn, how are they going to win without Travis Homer?
What about Eli Heidenreich? Do you think he's got a shot? I mean, if you're talking about fringe guys, might be a couple of the late-round picks. Under Omar, they've kept every draft pick, but now you're with 10. I don't know if all of them make it. So I think it's going to be a battle with some of those late-round guys.
I think so, too. My thing with Caleb is how many times has Mike McCarthy said – if you're not a starter, you need to be able to play two positions. And Caleb Johnson plays one position. And he doesn't play it that well, but he only plays one position. Eli could do a bunch of things. Travis Homer could do a bunch of things.
I'm sorry. Keeping Caleb Johnson.
I am too, but I'm just saying if we're talking competition, if we're talking real – I always try to view it as like what would I do versus what would the Steelers do. 90% of the time things don't align. I would keep Caleb Johnson. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a real battle if Eli looks pretty okay. He doesn't have to look great.
We're going to take Eli off the practice squad. Think about this.
Nobody, but how many times does Caleb have to go without a helmet before you would say something like, well, Eli would at least play punt?
I've seen from him last year that says he stinks. I see that we have no clue what he can do offensively.
I agree with that. I'm not disagreeing with the Caleb. I'm just saying I think that if he doesn't look great at training camp, I think Eli could sneak his way into a competition because he does multiple things.
I mean, Mark's right. They're not going to cut a third-round pick. But honestly, the only reason you're keeping Caleb Johnson is if there's a long-term injury to Jaylen Warren or Rico Dowdle. Otherwise, there's no other role for him to play.
No.
Next year? There's always next year, Ray.
There is.
But always next year.
It's always next year.
I don't think we answered that question though. Did we?
I tossed yours out there already, and Ray tossed Eli. I don't know if I have a third one. I don't even know who, like Robert Spears Jennings, I guess you could toss on that list. But besides that, like who, there aren't many fringe guys on this team. It's a very, like, we're going to get excited about the Max Hurlmans at training camp, but realistically, Roman Wilson is already fighting for a roster spot. There's no chance any of these guys actually have a real shot at making the team. So, I don't know.
Steal a spot. Maybe, huh? No, he's making it. I was going to say somebody like Carson Bruner, but he's on it. But I'm talking about stealing a
– he's not even stealing a spot.
I know. I'm just saying potentially playing a role defensively. Ooh.
I'll toss one out there. I don't know if he'd steal a spot, but maybe he makes the team. J.J. Galbraith, third tight end maybe. If you're not – depends on Nowakowski and how they're using him, but I thought J.J. was very impressive last year. Why? I was kind of surprised they didn't keep him around for the full season because he started the year off of the practice squad, I'm pretty sure, and then came back.
And then they brought him back. He does it. He's your classic pass-catching tight end. What did you guys make of Robert Tonyan having a try?
I liked it too.
Played with Aaron for 5 years. We kind of saw that thing with MVS last year. I don't know.
Played with McCarthy. McCarthy's one that I guess he was undrafted for his first 3 years.
But he played for him. Yeah.
He was pretty good for a couple years, but I don't know where has he been recently? Has he been banged up?
He was on the Kansas City. He was on the Kansas City Chiefs practice squad last year. But I mean, in 2020, he had 11 touchdown catches. In 20, I think it was 2022, his final season with Aaron in Green Bay, he had a career high 53 catches. So I know he's 32 years old, but they're looking for a third tight end who could maybe make some plays, and you're really going to classify Nowakowski as a fullback, then maybe you do that.
Yeah, I like that one. Maddie, do they maybe rotate the three into a linebacker role so that way they're all on the field in terms of Herbig,
Heisman? He means an inside linebacker role.
Yeah. Like an off ball.
Well, you know, one of the big things with Terrell Austin last year, if you guys remember, was getting Nick Herbig matched up on guards and centers and his quickness being utilized in those situations. So we've already seen that in passing situations. I honestly don't know how you do it in the base defense. You know, who are you going to take off the field? You're not going to take off Patrick Queen, and I don't think you're going to take off Peyton Wilson either. So in the base, it's going to be really hard, which again makes me wonder. We're going back to the first topic. I just don't know how they get enough snaps for all three of those guys.
Yeah, you know what I've noticed is maybe not has to do with the question, but you know who I've seen that left edge the entire offseason so far? Well, they're very interested in moving TJ Watt around, right?
Not at all. It was the first thing I noticed was I was like, man, dude, those plans better include other players because TJ ain't going nowhere. He's staying right at the left side.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's an option. I think there's a availability out there to have all three on the roster, protect yourself from injury, then be able to always have a fresh guy out there. We complain so much about TJ Watt tapping out critical parts when he only misses about 7 snaps a game. I think there's going to be plenty of reps. You don't want those guys playing 95% of the time. You want those guys out there, 70s, 80s% of the time at the most. So I think we might read too much into how you're going to get all three into on there. I think there's ways.
I think there are ways too. And my thing is, I don't think TJ is going to be super upset if he plays 65% of the snaps this year compared to 75, you know, and then is ready and healthy for the postseason. Will he be, you know, will it be an adjustment? Yes. But I also think that he understands where his body's at and what he's trying to accomplish. And as long as he's getting his, I don't know if he'd be super upset. Maybe I don't know TJ that well.
That's important. As long as his sack numbers there, if his sack numbers aren't there, then what happens? He's going to
want to play. And it's different. Yes, that's different. But if he's getting to the quarterback and he's on pace for 14 sacks, is he going to complain?
And who's going to tell him to come off the field?
Well, you send Nick out there, you know?
You're not going to tell him to come off the field if he doesn't want to come off the field.
You guys cannot tell me that there's not going to be an interesting locker room dynamic with Nick Herbig making as much money more than he is than Alex Highsmith. It's just Alex cannot be happy about this. And when you talk about snaps and playing time, that's going to play into it too. This is a tricky, tricky situation, guys.
If you can get Alex Highsmith to talk negative about anything, Ray, I'll give you $5.
Yeah.
I'll match.
He's not going to say anything publicly, but believe me, he's thinking this stuff.
Right. He'll have a Chris Boswell Holden. That isn't, you know, nobody really knows what's happening, but we do. We know what's going
on. That was an evil word today, right? Nobody would say Holden, but everybody knew what they were talking about.
Yeah, they were like, Chris Boswell, who doesn't actually practice, is not practicing. There it is. Headline. Sasha's got a good one on this one. If Alex Highsmith does get dealt, what would you guys want as compensation? What are you getting for Alex? Do you get I think I'd started at a second round pick. I think you could potentially get a second round pick for Alex Highsmith.
I might get one. I mean, honestly, he's younger and he's cheaper. If you're dealing him now, right?
You're saying that they'd get a one? They could potentially get a one?
If it's a high one, you know, 28, 29. I think he's once again, maybe I have a man crush. I don't know. I just think he's very, very talented. If he can stay healthy, I think he can – people, other teams are going to look at him and say he's 28 years old. He has a ton of production. They can see how quick he is and how great of a leader he is in his weird way of not really saying much. and they would pay him. Edge rushers, man, people want him. They want him, and they'll pay for him. As Nick Herbig got $25 million or $100 million, they'll pay him. So I think somebody would if they're desperate enough to give a one.
I'm not saying any of these guys are going to get dealt, but if there's one guy who would be like a sign and trade, it would be Alex. There might be some team out there saying, hey, we're going to rip up that old contract. We're going to give you, you know, $25 million a year, and you're going to be our guy. So
now what happens, Ray? That happens. Then TJ has a crap year.
Yeah.
And you don't want him anymore.
Just not saying,
I had a ton of guys. Now I got Nick Herbig, and maybe Jack Sawyer turns into a star. Is that where we're at? I don't know if I'm willing to go down that route.
I don't think I am either, but unless you're going to trade TJ, that's the only trade route that actually makes sense.
They're not going to trade anybody.
I don't think that. I don't know if they're going to trade anybody. I don't feel they're going to.
Emergency collective. The Steelers have traded TJ Watt.
That would be the wildest episode of all time. And honestly, I think we would just have to make you talk for an hour because you'd be the only one that was wrong. So I'd be all about it.
Let me tell you, I've said this before, is my kids' school, they have like Steeler days, black and gold games, days, and they show pictures. And if there's 50 kids wearing jerseys, 49 of them are TJ Watt. I think that might play something into this in a weird way of how popular he is with this organization and this team.
I think that if Mike Tomlin was here, you're spot on. I don't know if Mike McCarthy cares at all.
I don't know if that's Mike McCarthy's not lining his pocket with TJ money, with TJ Watt merchandise. It might be the old Mr. Art Rooney.
It might be, but I don't know. When you got the most expensive defense in the NFL, people start asking questions.
Are we going to go over 200? If you get Porter and Herbig on the books, I mean, what's the defense going to look like? How much money?
It would be close to 200 because you just added another 20 to Herbig, and Porter will add another 20 as well, right? Because he's a second round pick. So minimum 20. So it's 40. So you're at what, 290? Somewhere in that ballpark, 287? That's crazy. It's crazy. You can't. That's just way too expensive of a defense. You better be the best defense in the NFL.
Well, you look at next year, Queen's probably gone. Ramsey's probably gone. That's big money off the books.
It is. But you're still well over 200 with that. You actually still went up. You actually removed those two, add the two contracts for Herbig and Porter, and you still increased the value of this defense. And you have to go find an inside linebacker.
What are you thinking if you're Deshaun Elliott and you're making like $3 million a year? What are you thinking with all these guys?
Brisker. $5 million.
You're thinking, if you're Deshaun Elliott, you're thinking, I'm the best guy in this defense when I'm healthy. What is happening? What am I doing here?
When you sit down and think about it, it's amazing that happens. That there's such a discrepancy in how much these guys are paid. But Deshaun Elliott, for as well as he plays when he's healthy, that guy is a bargain. Yeah. And maybe Jaquan Brisker will be the same way.
Bad position. Whoever put them at safety, you need to talk to them. Safety just doesn't command a ton of money unless you're the upper echelon.
It's like center.
Derwin James is.
Yeah. It's like playing center or playing running back. Yeah.
Agreed. Nate Moore, gentlemen, is there a franchise quarterback on this roster, or at least the making of one? And Mason Rudolph is not an actual answer.
I don't think you know. I don't think there is.
I don't think there is.
Are you such a defined franchise?
I think the word franchise quarterback is tossed out way too often. There's a difference between a franchise quarterback and a starting quarterback, and I don't think there's a franchise quarterback.
To me, would be like a guy 10 years. I don't know.
10 years minimum. Yeah. I think there are two guys that could develop into starters. How long they're starters for, I don't know.
I will say this, and Mark, this will get the bloggers going. For the first time this spring,
in the open window,
I thought Drew Aller had a better showing than Will Howard today.
Drew Aller threw a couple nice balls.
I thought Drew Aller had a better showing than Will Howard at least once last week as well. Not
individual. Okay.
Not overall practice. Not just individual drills. Overall practice. I thought Drew's thrown a couple of nice passes. Will doesn't look bad. Just
you see Big Mike waxing poetic about one Mason Rudolph again. That's like three times in a row of media availability. Yeah, but Mason, I love him.
He's making up for the 3 months of not mentioning him one time.
Either he's lying to us and trying to stir up some interest for him, or he really figured out, hey, this guy's not that bad.
Or he realized, maybe I hyped up Will Howard a little bit too much. You never know.
Hey, but they watched film on him in practice last year.
They did, all 15 reps. All 15 reps of them. They look good. Maddie, do you see Roman and Jeremy Bernard being a 3A, 3B type wide receiver role? I mean, right now, Roman is, he's a veteran, so he's going to get the upper hand heading into training camp. But Roman would be wide receiver 3 heading into training camp, and Jeremy's got to beat him out. But, I mean, maybe that all comes down to just, does Aaron Rodgers like Jeremy Bernard, and does he trust him?
That's big. I mean, I think that will work itself out in the preseason games. We'll be able to determine right away if Jeremy Bernard's 3A by what he does in some of these games and some of these practices with live bullets, so to speak, throwing out there. I think he has the opportunity to be that week one starter or 3A or whatever you want to call him. I think he definitely has that opportunity.
I mean, Mark, you could decide that to a certain extent based on the way they play in the preseason, but Aaron Rodgers isn't playing in the preseason, so – it might not matter. I mean, look at Roman had a pretty good preseason last year, right? Caught a lot of balls. It didn't mean squat.
Diddly poo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It mean diddly poo. More of it.
Yeah.
Good. You got more thoughts?
He's just not he's going to have to prove something to Aaron Rodgers.
So is Roman, though. Roman will have
to. That's what I meant, Roman. I'm not talking about Jeremy.
Yeah,
I'm
Roman has to
have
has
to prove more.
But today was the first day that I thought, like, Roman kind of looks like a vet, you know? This is the first time that I was like, Roman doesn't look clueless and like a scared cat out there.
He's like Mr. June. Remember Dallas Baker was Mr. August Ray back in the
Gunnar day? Gunnar Olszewski, the greatest OTA's wide receiver in the history of the NFL.
Yes, that's what you have to caution for.
I agree.
Dallas Baker, the touchdown maker.
Yeah, until it got turned into August. The worst thing, worse than Mr. August would be like Mr. May.
Damn.
You don't even make it to August.
You don't even make it there. Yeah, you get a good spring. That's all you get. All right, let's finish it off with Ryan here. Do you guys think, I can't read today, we have any potential rookie of the year prospects this year? I don't know if there's going to be any rookies that actually play enough. Jeremy Bernard might be the only guy that actually sees more than, 20% of the snaps in the season, maybe? Somewhere in that ballpark?
I mean, to me, it's got to be about opportunity. I look at a guy like Mekhi Lemon. A.J. Brown gets traded. Mekhi Lemon automatically is at least your number two. And I just don't think Jeremy Bernard is going to get those opportunities. So I'm going to say.
Mekhi Lemon went down with a hamstring injury today, by the way.
Did he really?
He did. And then.
Issue, baby. Maybe Riley. I think Ryan McCann wanted us to say Eli Heidenreich.
Dude, I thought you were going to say Riley Nowakowski for a second. And I was like, where are we going here?
He's interesting. He's intriguing, but. Ray's right. Opportunity gives you the best opportunity. And I don't think any of these guys are going to be on the field enough to be able to show that.
Injuries could play a role in this. And I'll say this. If Dalen Everett gets an opportunity this season, I wouldn't be surprised if he is.
Rookie of the year.
Not rookie of the year, but just a really good rookie. Like, this guy's very impressive. He just looks the part. He looks the part way more than I thought he was going to look the part early in this. And maybe he can't tackle. We'll figure that out in July, but he doesn't look bad. He doesn't look bad. So we'll see. All right. With that said, we're heading out of here. Thank you guys so much for jumping on to episode 3 of the Steelers Collective. Before you head out of here, hit that like and subscribe button as we make our way to 1,000 subscribers. And we are also on every Tuesday, 7 p.m. Eastern time. With that said, enjoy a beautiful week in the Berg. And we'll be back next week.